Now at 7, we're hearing from devastated physicians about the new law to restrict abortions taking effect this summer, how they're preparing now for future hurdles.
New rain chances for Friday, what your town can expect. And then our focus shifts to the weekend. I'm tracking two systems that could bring rain or storms.
Then some of you have reached out following our electric vehicle stories this week with Five on Your Side, asking just how much cleaner are EVs? We answer your questions tonight in depth.
North Carolina now has its most restrictive abortion access in 50 years. A new law makes most abortions illegal after 12 weeks of pregnancy. Thank you for joining us. I'm Deborah Morgan.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. The new law will take effect July 1. Tonight, Chelsea Donovan spoke with physicians and organizations that help women get access to care who say that they are not only devastated, but preparing for more hurdles to come.
Many OBGYNs who perform abortions are expressing concern tonight, along with organizations that try to help women find safe abortion care. They both believe there are now too many hurdles and hoops to jump through that add more stress, and care is simply out of reach.
So as an OBGYN, as a native North Carolinian, as a mother, I'm devastated by this bill.
Dr. Beverly Gray is a Duke clinician who currently provides abortions past the 12-week mark. She has concerns about what lies ahead for her practice and her patients now that Senate Bill 20 has passed.
The House has overridden the governor's veto and the bill becomes law.
The administrative burdens that it creates for healthcare providers and healthcare systems are impossible in many ways.
This new law has many facets. It would repeal the current law that bans most abortions after 20 weeks and will instead put in place a 12-week ban.
When patients first find out they're pregnant, they don't have a crystal ball to be able to say this is going to happen when I turn 12 weeks or when I turn 13 weeks.
A phone consultation required by current law at least 72 hours before an abortion now has to happen in person under the new law, and first of two abortion pills have to be administered in a medical practice as well. The new law also adds a post-abortion doctor's appointment.
We have 9 counties where abortion care is provided in North Carolina. And if you live in a rural area and need to travel for care and you want a medication abortion, that requires 3 in-person visits.
The Triangle Abortion Access Coalition helps patients access abortion care in the state or out of state, and they believe these appointments will also be an added burden.
Abortion bans do not prevent abortion. It outsources where people access that care. They're facing travel out of state, potentially Virginia or further.
In cases of rape or incest, an abortion would be allowed through 20 weeks of pregnancy. If the fetus has a life-limiting anomaly, abortion would be legal through 24 weeks. Chelsea Donovan, WRAL News, Raleigh.
A contentious moment on the House floor this afternoon during a debate over school vouchers. Lawmakers had been arguing over a bill that would expand the eligibility requirements for North Carolina Opportunity Scholarships.
Representative Jones, I want to ask you the question is, I understand that you went into public school and you went to Harvard and Harvard Law. And the question, I guess, is, would you have been able to maybe achieve this if you were not an athlete or a minority?
Okay, I'm hoping I wasn't the only one that got shocked by that comment, that the only reason you went to Harvard is because you were black and an athlete?
No, I did not say that. I said, did that end up being one of the reasons? I do not know that. I asked him this.
Right. Well, before the session ended, Representative McNeely apologized, saying his comments came out differently than intended. For more on this story, stick around for WRAL News on Fox 50 at 10 and WRAL News at 11.
Happening right now in the Live Center, brand new photo coming in, a car fire causing some delays near the Crabtree Valley Mall. You can see that where firefighters at the Raleigh Fire Department now trying to make sure the flames don't grow any more than they already have from that car fire. This is the Container Store just on the other side of that fire truck. If you're familiar with that intersection, it's a busy area. And this time of night, we are seeing some of those delays. That red line popping up, that's where that is happening. So this is that crash location, Glenwood right here. There's the mall location. So if your evening travels take you out there, possibly late night to eat in the restaurants in that area, you could see some slowdowns as crews work to clear that scene. Back to you.
Quite a picture, Mark. Thank you. Big brother or a needed layer of protection? That's the decision the Durham Public School Board will make over the student tracking software called Gaggle. The software monitors student activity on school accounts and devices for keywords. Any mention of violence, self-harm, or other inappropriate issues would notify school staff immediately. Board Chair Bettina Umstead tells WREL this is just one tool the schools can use for student safety.
How do we have that connection with the right support resources inside of schools to make sure students stay safe? So Gaggle is one tool, but we know it doesn't replace a human being, doesn't replace a school counselor, a mental health support specialist, those people that really help our students get through really challenging times.
Some parents and staff have raised privacy concerns about the technology. 65% of staff who were surveyed recommend the district continue using Gaggle.
Let's take a live look at our nation's capital tonight. A beautiful shot. Tonight, U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is warning that we may not be able to pay our bills in full by June 1st. The U.S., keep in mind, has never defaulted on its debt. We have taken some calls, though, from folks at home, a lot of you, asking us here at the station what this would mean specifically for you and your family. WRL's Shelley Jackson sent out to get some answers.
The U.S. hit its $31 trillion debt limit back in January, and it's fast approaching the X date. That's the date when the Treasury will not have enough cash to cover its financial obligations.
Diners here at the Farmers Market restaurant have solid opinions about the debt ceiling standoff.
Now, what kind of message will it send the world? They look up to us. We can't default on our debt, so we need to step up.
My concern is that they keep making it an issue every year.
More than one in five North Carolina residents receive Social Security benefits. And according to the American Association for Retired Persons, for 25% of those people, it's their sole source of income.
AARP is advocating that the Social Security be off the table. Both parties, both Republicans and Democrat leadership, have been saying that Social Security will not be part of the debt negotiations. It's too important.
According to the Bipartisan Policy Center, if the U.S. hits that X date without voting to raise the debt limit, Social Security payments could be delayed, and a default could impact retirement savings. U.S. government bonds are thought to be a safe investment, but if the U.S. defaults on its debt, those bonds could depreciate.
I have Treasury bonds, and right now it's a good rate. It's 5%, it's more than 5%. If we default and those Treasury bonds are not good, our whole economy is no good.
And while most people didn't think the government would end up defaulting, they are tired of the constant brinksmanship over the debt limit.
When are they ever going to get the political courage to stop doing it?
So the last major debt crisis was back in 2011. And while that crisis was averted, markets plummeted and the S&P downgraded the U.S. credit rating for the first time ever. Shelley Jackson, WRAL News, Raleigh.
The state Senate plans to take up a bill to legalize sports wagering on your phone next week. The bill already passed the House. Governor Cooper has indicated he plans to support the legislation. The Senate passed a similar bill last session, but it fell in the House. The current bill would allow betting on professional college and Olympic sports by adults located in North Carolina.
Still ahead, we've been taking a lot of questions from you about electric vehicles this week on WRAL. You've been asking us to tell the entire story. So tonight, we go in depth. How clean are EVs? Plus, NASCAR. It's filling a historic North Carolina Speedway for the first time since the 90s. We're going to give you a look at the fanfare underway as we speak, coming up. And here's Kat.
It is a perfect evening out here in Durham at the DBAP for Bark in the Park. Check out all of these furry friends, all different sizes, all different breeds. It's so much fun and perfect weather. I'll have more on our rain chances increasing on Friday and explain why we had to bump up those rain chances.
All this week, Five on Your Side has been showing you what it's like to own and drive an electric vehicle. How they drive, how they charge, how Tesla is a bit different than the others. We talk to people who love their EVs and others who are a bit skeptical or even fearful of what this movement might do for their livelihood. Tonight, Keely Arthur and I go in-depth EVs in NC.
All right.
Driving an EV takes some getting used to.
It says hold. Oh, it's so weird not having the stick.
Charging takes anywhere from minutes to hours and can be unpredictable.
We got an alert on the app telling us that the city of Wilmington was actually slowing down energy speeds due to high demand.
But we also saw how quickly you can gain hundreds of miles of driving range for just a few bucks.
It's going to charge this car fully at 35 minutes.
Or you may pay nothing at all for electricity.
It's actually free right now to charge in Wilmington.
Despite the average cost of an EV being $11,000 more than gas cars, all the electric vehicle owners we ran into said they won't go back to gas.
And I love it, love it, love it.
Oh, I love it.
They all also conceded more charging options are needed.
Do you think that the infrastructure is ready?
No. Close, but not yet.
Keely Arthur joining us now, getting us outside, a little field trip to the charging ports out here at WRAL. And I have some questions about charging. People concerned about power outages, or like we saw with Moore County and the power grid attack that had power out for days and days. Is that a legitimate concern for folks?
The good thing with a power outage is it's normally in a relatively small area, so you can always, if worse comes to worse, get the car towed to a place where there is a charging station. And also, these cars do have a really long range, 200 to 400 miles, and it's going to warn you way ahead of time before you're going to just stop on the road because of a dead battery.
Now, we know so many people are thinking it might be time to get an electric vehicle, and there have been some changes to the tax incentives. And they can be a bit confusing, like the one that's available now.
It's confusing. I know a lot of people have questions about this. The Treasury rolled out new guidance on April 18th about this. Essentially, it's a $7,500 tax credit for specific EVs. They have to meet certain criteria. But the big one that I want people to know right now is it's non-refundable. So if you owe on your taxes, it's going to help you. But if you don't owe, it's not a $7,500 gift.
Got it. All right, Keely Arthur, thank you so much. Good reporting this week.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And you can find Keely's reports, all of them, on WRL.com. I recommend you check those out. I do want to mention one comment that Keely did share with me. A viewer named Mike H. wrote to her and said, please report the whole story. So let's do that. And I'm guessing here, Mike, that you're talking about something specific. You're wondering how much cleaner electric vehicles actually are. That's how they're sold to us, right? Well, it kind of depends on how you look at it. If you put an EV right next to a gas-guzzling car, yes, much cleaner. But the equation is a lot more complicated than that. See, North Carolina is pretty progressive when it comes to renewable, clean energy like solar and wind and hydro and that sort of thing. According to the U.S. Energy Information Administration, in 2021, that's where we got about 15% of our energy, compared to coal, where we got 16% of our energy. So if you think of it that way, if we're burning coal to fill our batteries, it's definitely not clean. But we've been weaning off of coal by leaps and bounds over the past decade and will continue to do so, making us rely more and more on nuclear. In 2021, we got 33% of our electricity from nuclear power. And while nuclear doesn't cause dangerous emissions that warm the planet, Greenpeace points this out. It generates huge amounts of toxic waste, and no government has yet resolved how to safely manage this. Not to mention, the ideas that we currently have to manage it are extremely expensive. NBC reported in 2019 that costs jumped from $383 billion in 2017 to $493 billion in 2018. That's more than $100 billion in just 1 year. And keep this in mind. Most of this waste is highly radioactive and will remain so for thousands of years. Simply put, no one has a great plan for this yet. And that's just to charge the batteries. We haven't even talked about creating them. I'm joined now by WRAL 5 on Your Side producer Pritchard Strong. He worked on this series with Keely. And Pritch, these batteries are filled with expensive metals that do have to be mined. And before we get your feedback on that part of it, I do want to give people a little bit of background. You see, you can't make these batteries without lithium, a very important component. Now, there's an article from The Guardian. It states 95% of our lithium comes from Australia, Chile, China, and Argentina. Those are places where we can't regulate working conditions or environmental impact. And it also means that we're in the process of developing this critical infrastructure in the U.S. that relies almost entirely on other countries that we don't always agree with, like China. So there's been this new push to mine for these metals, like lithium, here in the U.S., including Gaston County, North Carolina. You covered all of this during your time in Charlotte. Can you tell us a bit about it?
Yeah, so west of Charlotte, Piedmont Lithium is trying to open a lithium mine in Gaston County. It's a $1 billion project. This is to help with electric vehicle batteries. And basically, neighbors have pushed back on it. Some have been okay with it and sold their land. Others have really pushed back hard. And they have a couple of concerns. One is they don't want their environment, the area around them, destroyed. And they also were worried about their groundwater. They're concerned that this mining operation could contaminate the groundwater and cause problems for them in their well water. They've seen it happen before in Belmont, which is also in Gaston County. They had an issue a few years earlier where there was concerns about contamination from a nearby Duke Coal Ash plant. Mm-hmm. They were on bottled water for more than 1,000 days. They could not drink their tap water for that long. So they've seen it happen, and they don't want it to happen to them.
And during research I've done in other countries, looking what's happening in other countries, this type of mining for lithium can potentially cause a problem with groundwater.
And Piedmont Lithium has tried to assure neighbors that's not going to happen here, that there are better rules in place here. There won't be an issue, and if there is, they'll fix it. But that has not been enough to reassure neighbors.
All right, Pritch, thank you so much. Appreciate it. And I do want to end this segment tonight with a quote from the director of the Institute for Responsible Mining. This was published in the New York Times. This is a person who vets mines for BMW and Ford Motor. She said, "Our new clean energy demands could be creating greater harm, even though its intention is to do good." Look, there's a lot more to discuss here. I know that. Let me know what you think. What are you discussing on the couch right now watching this segment? Email me at dan@wral.com. And listen, I'm not stating an opinion with this story. The fact is our planet is warming. We know this. Fossil fuels are a primary factor. This is scientific consensus. I'm only stating a real concern and some of the problems with one of our most aggressive solutions. So send me a message. Tell me what's on your mind, and we'll go in depth.
Now let's take a live look at the DBAP tonight. This is where the Durham Bulls are taking on the Nashville Sounds. Perfect night out there for a ball game. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is there live now. Kat, it really is a picture perfect night for Bark in the Park, too.
Yes, it is. I mean, it couldn't be better. I love to see all of the wagging tails, the tongues out here tonight, but it is all for a good cause. It's important to remember that the proceeds from the dog tickets sold tonight will go to Second Chance Pet Adoption here in North Carolina, so that money stays local. It is the oldest no-kill shelter in Wake County, so we're happy to tell you it all goes toward a good cause. Jazzy, she's chilling here hands-free in my little pouch. She's met all kinds of doggy friends, and thank you to everybody who's offered her a hot dog out here tonight. She's made a lot of friends. And look at the game. I mean, it is just absolutely beautiful out here. The humidity is low. The temperatures are comfortable. No rain to worry about tonight. So let's take a look at your forecast for Bark in the Park this evening. Temperatures are sitting in the 70s right now, mid-70s, 71 by 8 o'clock and by 9 o'clock, upper 60s. It just doesn't get much better than this. It feels more like spring than summer. 76 tonight was our first pitch forecast. Tomorrow night, even cooler, 70 for first pitch. It's going to be a beautiful evening again out here tomorrow night. $1 hot dogs tomorrow night, and then of course Friday night fireworks coming up on Friday. 71 with a small chance for rain on Friday. We did have to add rain chances on Friday. The front that's to our south, it's going to lift back to the north, and with it, it's going to act like a highway for a wave of low pressure to ride right along it. And it'll stay closer to the coast, that low pressure, and that's why the highest rain chances are probably going to be in the east on Friday, but some of those showers could make it here. Thursday, tomorrow, still doesn't look like a bad day. We could see an isolated shower in our southern counties Thursday night, but I think better rain chances would come as we head into Friday. You can see some spotty showers in the area to start the day Friday. And then as we head into the afternoon, we'll keep in that chance for rain with the highest chance in our eastern counties. But it's certainly not a washout. It's some patchy rain. And at this point, it looks like it's going to be too cool for any thunderstorm. So it looks like it's going to be a lot lower impact of a system than what we saw last week. Looking at your weekend, 74 Friday, 81 Saturday, 78 degrees on Sunday.
Your 7-day forecast, all low temperatures are in the 50s. That's the good news for you. Really comfortable. And high temperatures should stay slightly below normal. Boy, it's been a beautiful night out here at the DBAP for baseball. And all the dogs are just so happy in this weather. I mean, look at all these wagging tails that you see going by out here. And we've seen all kinds of dogs in different Bulls outfits, bandanas, and jerseys. They've got more Bark in the Park events coming up this season. So be sure to check them out.
What a great night. How fun. All right, Kat, thank you.
Coming up still ahead, the Canes one step closer to the Stanley Cup, and the action gets underway at PNC in about 24 hours. The team is feeding off all the energy around the city. We'll tell you what they're looking forward to most.
Racing is back at the North Wilkesboro Speedway.
It's going to be fun hosting the 2023 NASCAR All-Star Race and all the events that come with it. The track hosted NASCAR races for years before stopping in the 1990s. They used money from the state budget a couple of years back to restore the track to its former glory and make some upgrades. Governor Roy Cooper was there today to celebrate the racetrack's revival. Friday is qualifying, Saturday is the Truck Series race, and Sunday is NASCAR All-Star Race. So the Canes have been resting and putting in work.
Yeah, tomorrow the Carolina Hurricanes meet the Florida Panthers on the ice at PNC for the first time in the Eastern Conference Finals. And the Canes are favored to win it all in Vegas and take home the Stanley Cup. How about that? This team feels the energy this brings to our community. And this will be an interesting matchup, to say the least. Captain Jordan Staal is taking on his brothers Eric and Mark, both of whom play for the Panthers. And former Hurricanes coach Paul Maurice now coaches the Panthers. WREL will have live team coverage leading up to game one.
We are going to be at PNC Arena all day, starting with our morning news. You can join us at 7:30 p.m. Special pregame coverage there, all the Canes excitement. And then we're going to walk you through what you need to know before the puck drops at 8. Then after the game, turn to us for postgame coverage during our late news. And at 11:25, an exclusive postgame show just for you. You hear from fans, players, and of course, Coach Rod Brind'Amour, hopefully celebrating.
Yes, exactly. I will see you out there tomorrow.
All right. Mm-hmm. Thanks for joining us here on WREL News.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.